Hello, it's Monday, February 11, 2008, and I'm Eric Hufschmid. Last week I watched the television program that was produced by ABC News about Natalie Holloway and the secretly recorded confession of Joran van der Sloot, the Dutchman suspected of killing her. But the confession didn't seem genuine to me. My conclusion, as of today, is that the people involved in this secret confession, including the Dutch television program, are lying in order to protect something much bigger than the disappearance of a woman. I think the confession was staged in an attempt to fool us into thinking that Natalie died from a drug or alcohol overdose, and that there's no reason to look any further into her mysterious disappearance. Natalie Holloway has received a tremendous amount of publicity by the television and other media during the past few years. She also got a lot of attention by people on the internet. Joran's confession is also getting a lot of publicity, and the Dutch television reporter, along with Patrick, the man who recorded him, were planning to tour America to promote it even more. The concern about Holloway may not seem strange to you unless you realize that people are disappearing all the time, all around the world. But the media ignores almost all of the missing people. They also show no concern about Christopher Bolin and his family. Why is the media so concerned about Natalie Holloway? I hope all of you realize that the media is not the corporate media or the mainstream media or the CIA-controlled media. It is the Jewish media, the Zionist media, the Khazar media. And I hope you realize that most of the people in the so-called truth movements are also Jews. If you realize this, then you should alter that last question to, why are the Jews in the media and on the internet so obsessed with Natalie Holloway? Muslims don't show any obsession with Holloway, and neither do Catholics, or atheists, or vegetarians. It seems to be only Jews who are obsessed with her. Her disappearance has some special significance to Jews, but what could it be? There are lots of possibilities. One of them is Natalie Holloway was kidnapped and sold as a sex slave, and perhaps the Jews are furious because Holloway is Jewish. A possible clue as to what's going on is that most of the people who are concerned about Holloway show no desire to discuss the slave trade. In fact, some of these people will minimize or ridicule the possibility that she was kidnapped for the slave trade. They refuse to consider the possibility. And you have to ask yourself, why wouldn't they consider all possibilities? Are they truly interested in figuring out what happened to her? Or are they simply angry that she became a victim? For example, John Walsh, the host of the television show America's Most Wanted, was interviewed on the television program Showbiz Tonight in November of 2005. The host of the show mentioned that Dr. Phil believes Holloway may have been sold into the sex slave trade, but Walsh responded, "I don't know where he comes up with that theory." Walsh also said that 99.9% of the time that a woman is missing, she is probably dead. And he said the likelihood of her being sold as a sex slave is pretty far-fetched. "Well, Mr. Walsh, I think that 99.9% of the time that a crime investigator dismisses a valid possibility as pretty far-fetched is because he's covering up the crime. Our own government claims that hundreds of thousands of people are sold as sex slaves every year, and Aruba has been a Dutch slave center for centuries. And don't forget that DynCor employee, Ben Johnston, who complained that people in the company were buying and selling children for use as sex slaves. Where does Mr. Walsh think the sex slaves come from? There's no orchard where people grow sex slaves for the international slave trade. There's only one source for sex slaves, and that is kidnapping. Therefore, if a crime investigator is truly concerned about figuring out what happened to Natalie Holloway, he ought to consider the possibility that the reason nobody has found any trace of her dead body is because she was kidnapped and sold as a sex slave. Why dismiss this possibility without an investigation into the issue? Notice that this is exactly what the government officials, police, and media did after the 9/11 attack. They minimized or insulted the theories that the towers were brought down with explosives or that Israel had some involvement in 9/11. They refused to investigate or discuss these possibilities. I just looked on the internet yesterday to see if there were any news items about the slave trade, and I noticed an article about a Chinese man who is in court in Ireland for killing his girlfriend. He claims that he lost his temper and killed her after he discovered she was working as a prostitute. But the evidence shows that the woman was raised in China and traveled to Ireland when she was about 20 years old to attend a language school. But this school was actually a front for a Chinese crime gang, and after she arrived in Ireland, she was forced into prostitution by the Chinese gang. The man who murdered her was one of the gang members, not her boyfriend. She was supposedly killed to show the other women what will happen to them if they don't obey. And this morning, there are some more articles about some new arrests, such as the article from Scotland about two Chinese men arrested with four sex slaves. And another article says that about 500 African babies are being sold into Britain every year, mainly as labor slaves, and that many of the Africans are discarded in the streets when they grow up. A lot of people complain about illegal immigration, but they blame the immigrants for the problem, not their own citizens or businessmen who give them jobs or purchase them for use as slaves. Millions of poor people from Mexico and South America are coming into America every year, and many Americans believe that the solution is to build a fence between Mexico and America. But a fence cannot stop Americans from behaving in a selfish and abusive manner. The problem is the Americans, not the Mexicans. Britain could build a fence along its border, but hundreds of African babies would continue to arrive in Britain every year to serve the wealthy people as labor slaves. As I explained in an earlier audio file, every nation's biggest problem is its own citizens. Our governments are corrupt, our police departments are dishonest, and our businesses are selfish because most of their employees are ordinary people who behave in a selfish and dishonest manner. We're not going to correct the situation by blaming foreigners. We've got to face the fact that most of our own citizens are incapable of dealing with the problems that human societies face today. Some of us are struggling to improve our world, but we're ignored by most people. They would rather entertain themselves. But by ignoring the problems we face, they're allowing the crime gangs to grow. Search the internet news items for the phrases sex slaves or human trafficking, and you'll find that there are news items about this issue every day. You'll find reports of children who are being kidnapped and sold as slaves, and you'll find reports of adult women who are tricked into traveling to a foreign nation to accept what they think is an opportunity for a job or a school course. This problem is occurring all over the world, and it's not a secret. The media minimizes it, but the government and the police departments know about it. The American government even produces a report every year on the subject of human trafficking. So how could John Walsh, of America's Most Wanted, not be aware of this problem? He investigates crimes for a living, so he must be aware of the slave trade. However, if you are not aware of the slave trade, you are likely to agree with Walsh that the idea that Holloway was sold as a slave is pretty far-fetched. So let me give you a little background into the slave trade. I think it would be useful if you understood why most people don't realize this problem exists, or if they're aware of it, why they don't realize the magnitude and significance of it. There are three primary reasons that people are unaware of the slave trade. The most obvious reason is that most people don't buy slaves or know anybody who has slaves. A more important reason is that the media avoids giving this issue publicity. There are news items about it on a regular basis, but the media tries to minimize it as poor people who are working to pay debts. In fact, it was almost a year ago that I made a short video on the sex slave industry after I saw a report about it on the local television station in my city. The report claimed that the slave business was the fastest growing industry in the world, but they focused on some poor women who were working as prostitutes in the bushes near a parking lot. Our government produces a report every year on the issue of human trafficking, and their 2007 report is available online for free, but their report is similar to a video from Alex Jones because it doesn't provide any details about who is responsible or how people are getting away with such a shocking crime. The report claims that every year millions of people become some type of slave for labor or sex, but the report leaves you confused as to how millions of people can be in this predicament without arousing the attention of the police or the media. The third and perhaps the most important reason that most people are oblivious to the slave trade is that most of the victims are the unwanted people that we have no desire to associate with. They are the runaway children, the poor people, the homeless people, the orphans, the mentally ill, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the criminals, and the stupid people. They're the people we avoid. If we encounter them at a retail store, park, or restaurant, we ignore them. When one of them disappears, we don't notice. Or if we notice that they're missing, we're glad that we don't see them any longer. We don't wonder where they went. We don't call the police. One of the cruel aspects of life is that every living creature has defects of some type. None of us are perfect, and some people have some serious defects. Some people are born blind or stupid or mentally ill or as Siamese twins. We rarely see defective animals or plants because they die quickly or are eaten by some other animal. But during the past few centuries, and especially the past few decades, the defective humans have been surviving and reproducing. We have inhibitions about allowing these defective people to die, and we especially have inhibitions about killing them. So we help them to live, but we don't want them to be our friends, our spouses, or our neighbors. So they're pushed aside and end up living in the streets, the orphanages, the mental hospitals, and the areas that we refer to as slums. They have miserable lives, and they are frequently victims of con artists and crime gangs. These unwanted people are routinely cheated, raped, kidnapped, murdered, and sold as slaves, but nobody notices or cares. One of the boys from the Boys Town Orphanage, Paul Benassi, testified in court that Congressman Barney Frank and other government officials routinely raped him and other boys from the orphanage. But almost nobody cares about orphans. Orphans have always been used for labor and sex. People also frequently kill prostitutes, but almost nobody cares about prostitutes. Actually, as I mentioned in one of my articles at my philosophy page, the situation is even worse than this. All animals and humans have a natural tendency to hurt the defective creatures. Chickens, for example, will pluck feathers out of defective chickens. And human children routinely hurt the children who are fat or stupid or weird or ugly. We have inhibitions about killing people, but we don't have inhibitions about hurting people. Actually, we enjoy hurting defective people. We want to push them out of our lives. We want to associate only with people we like. It might help you to understand this attitude if you notice that we do the same thing with unwanted dogs and cats. We have inhibitions about killing animals that are not threatening us, so when people get tired of their pets, they don't kill them. Instead, they let them loose in the city and then ignore them. This animal-like behavior is inappropriate today, but thousands of years ago, when a person was pushed aside by other members of his society, he tended to die quickly because he wouldn't have been able to survive on his own. This is nature's cruel method of getting rid of the defective animals and humans. However, today it's so easy for people to survive that they can live for years in the streets. They can find food in the trash cans, and they can beg for money. They can also survive in mental hospitals, orphanages, and jails. Some of them live on welfare or inheritances, and some join crime gangs. The problem with the unwanted pets is staggering. In America alone, there are millions of unwanted cats and dogs picked up every year and killed. The American taxpayers are paying for this incredible slaughter. Just look in the news items and you can see reports about this on a regular basis. For example, a recent news article about the city of Amarillo, Texas says that the city killed almost 12,000 animals in 2007. This is just one city. Some people complain about baby seals that are killed for their fur, and some vegetarians complain about people who kill animals for food, but there's a slaughter of cats and dogs going on in every city because of people who abandon their pets. And every city seems to be reporting that they're killing more animals every year. You might be tempted to blame this problem of unwanted animals on stupid people, but whether you can deal with this issue depends upon your personality, not your education or intelligence. For example, near my home is a university, and some of the college students abandon dogs and cats, even though they're supposed to be more intelligent, educated, and wealthy than the majority of people. The problem of unwanted animals is occurring in other nations also. This problem is due to our animal-like tendency to push aside whatever we don't like. We have the same attitude towards inanimate objects that we don't like. We refer to the unwanted items as trash or garbage, and we dump them somewhere and then ignore it. We don't want to recycle it or deal with it. We want to push it away and ignore it. Some people empty their ashtrays in parking lots, and some throw trash out the windows as they're driving. Thousands of years ago, this behavior was acceptable because all of the trash in that era was organic, and the human population was very low. But today, these piles of trash are surviving for centuries, and they're causing water supplies to become contaminated with toxic chemicals. Every city is wasting a lot of money picking up the unwanted items and the unwanted animals. However, no city is yet dealing with unwanted humans. No city is picking them up to put them somewhere, and nobody is allowed to kill them, so they just live among us like abandoned animals in piles of trash. We could refer to these unwanted people as human trash. This brings up the issue of abortion and birth control. Millions of people condemn abortion as murder, and millions oppose birth control. They claim to be wonderful people who love human life, but they don't care what happens to a baby after it's born. They have no concern about the quality of life. They don't care if the unwanted babies end up in orphanages, or mental hospitals, or in the streets. These pro-life people don't care if these babies end up as human trash who have a miserable life of loneliness, rejection, rape, torture, and murder. As I've mentioned in other audio files and documents, the pro-life people are only concerned with making themselves feel good. They want to titillate themselves. They want to imagine that they're special people. They're not helping us deal with our problems. Most people ignore what happens to the human trash on the grounds that their lives have no significance to us. However, I think the sex and labor slaves are affecting the world in a very significant way, and we're fools to allow it to continue. As I pointed out in my masquerade party video, the customer list for illegal activities would be extremely valuable to an organized crime gang because every customer can be blackmailed. A crime gang could use this list to find people to promote for mayor, sheriff, university chancellor, astronaut, or news reporter. If you purchase a sex slave, you are allowing the crime network to use you as a type of slave. It's an interesting trap, and you can see how this network can grow larger and larger. The customers of the slaves become slaves of the crime network. The customers will then help to protect the crime network out of fear that they will be turned into the police for what they just did. This type of trap can also happen with more than just sex slaves. There are businesses offering trips to Thailand and Morocco to have sex with prostitutes, and the people who take these trips might be encouraged to try sex with children, and if they agree, then they can be blackmailed. There are people who are in the investment business, and they'll offer people the opportunity to cheat in the stock market. But if somebody agrees, then they can be blackmailed. There are lots of possible blackmail traps. It's also possible that people who have retarded children are offered the opportunity to have their child killed, and if either of the parents agree, then they can be blackmailed. John Walsh of America's Most Wanted claimed that his son was kidnapped and killed, but for all we know, his son was defective, and he was tricked by the Jews into having the child killed. Parents with retarded children are in a dilemma. they have to spend their lives taking care of the child, or they have to find a way to get the child into some type of institution, or they have to find a way to secretly kill it. Thousands of years ago, nobody would have stopped a father from killing his defective child. But today, nobody is allowed to kill their children, not even if they're Siamese twins who are joined at the face. This allows crime gangs to offer parents the service of killing the defective children. So what is happening to the customer list of sex slaves and the people who take trips to Thailand to have sex with children? Have any of those customers been given funding for political office? Have any of them been offered jobs in television or Hollywood? Have any of them become sheriffs, FBI agents, fire commissioners, university chancellors, or astronauts? A crime network could take control of a nation by putting its members and its blackmailed customers into positions of authority. And this seems to be what the Jewish crime network is doing. The Jews seem to be the dominant group in illegal activities, such as sex slaves, drugs, investment scams, insurance scams, murder for hire, and prostitution. They may have an enormous customer list. The Jews also seem to be involved in a lot of psychology-related organizations. This allows them to encourage their patients to talk about their secret fantasies and the crimes they've committed. And then the Jews can blackmail them. The people who join Scientology also seem to be pushed into confessing their secrets. It's difficult to believe that a crime network could be taking control of the world with this technique, but take a serious look at the people who are in influential positions. The sheriffs, government officials, university chancellors, news reporters, and the astronauts seem to be a very strange group of people. The Christian religious leaders who get favorable publicity by the Jews also seem to be strange. And take a look at who the Jews select to give special publicity to. Why are they so often providing us with news reports about Britney Spears and Tom Cruise? If you were in control of television news, would you spend that much time reporting about those two people? The people who have been selected for influential positions don't seem to be a random sample of the population, and they don't appear to have been selected because they do a good job. It seems as if there is a disproportionate number of Jews among them, and those who aren't Jewish are often suspected of being homosexuals, pedophiles, alcoholics, or drug users. And look at the people who dominate the 9/11 and Holocaust investigations. A lot of these people are Jews, and a lot of the others are suspected of being homosexuals, pedophiles, drug addicts, alcoholics, and criminals. There's a mysterious report from the 1970s known as the Dugello Report, and it claimed that the Patriot Movement was full of homosexuals and Jews back then. I don't think it's a coincidence that people in influential positions are Jewish, homosexual, or just plain weird. A man who listens to my audio files came up with the expression Jew incident to describe a coincidence that benefits Jews. For example, it was a Jew incident that Mohammed Atta's passport was found in the street after the airplane crashed into the towers. It was also a Jew incident that Alex Jones is married to a Jew and doesn't see any significant Jewish involvement in 9/11. It's a Jew incident that Tom Cruise, who gets tremendous publicity, promotes Scientology and is accused of being homosexual. My guess as to what's going on is that the Jews are using their customer lists to find people to promote for sheriff, government official, university chancellor, Christian leader, Hollywood star, and astronaut. They're putting the lunatics, weirdos, homosexuals, pedophiles, and mentally ill people into positions of importance so that they can control our nation. The Jews have been involved with crime for centuries, and the Rothschilds and other Jews have been getting control of the banking system and other organizations for centuries. Don't underestimate the size of their network. They seem to be dominating almost all of the organizations today. There is a website called humantrafficking.com. They claim to be exposing the modern slave trade. They have a page with the title, Who Are the Traffickers? However, this article sounds like a transcript to an Alex Jones video, because after you've done reading it, you're more confused than when you started. For example, the article claims that human trafficking is the fastest growing criminal industry in the world for two reasons. One is that profits can be made quickly, and the second is that the risk of prosecution is usually negligible. But why is the prosecution usually negligible? They don't explain that. The website admits that there are large criminal organizations with significant political power, but they don't explain who these criminal groups are or how they're getting their political power. There's almost no mention of Israel or Zionism or Jews. Just like in Alex Jones' video, this website is vague and confusing. Don't assume that these people are simply naive. This is a pattern that we can see in the 9/11 movement, the Holocaust revisionist movement, the peace groups, and almost every other group. All of the people in control of these groups are vague and confusing. This is not an accident. This is a deliberate attempt to confuse people and get control of the investigations. It's not a coincidence that the organizations that exposed slavery are ignoring the role that Jews play in the slave trade. This is a Jew incident. There are lots of television programs that claim to investigate crimes. My advice is to assume all of them are working for the Jewish Crime Network. Try to learn from the 9/11 attack and the Holocaust. Almost every researcher and organization that claims to be exposing 9/11 and the Holocaust are Jews or their blackmailed puppets. Why should the slave trade be any different? Jews have been involved in the slave trade for centuries, so they've had plenty of time to create organizations to stop people from exposing their crimes. Don't be too trusting. Remember what happened to Christopher Bolin. As the Jews tell us over and over, if you forget the past, you will relive it, or something to that effect. If you forget what happened to Christopher Bolin, you may end up in a similar predicament. We should investigate every person and every organization that claims to be helping us. For example, consider the television show America's Most Wanted. They recently reported about a disappearance of a woman named Brianna Dennison. She's a 19-year-old woman who was going to a college here in my city of Santa Barbara. She was visiting friends in Reno, Nevada, and on January 20, 2008, she disappeared while sleeping on the couch. Ed Miller of America's Most Wanted interviewed the people at the house in Reno. He suggested that a man was going down the street in the middle of the night and noticed her sleeping on the couch in the dark room because the door has glass windows in it. And then he decided to kidnap her. I'll put a link to the video so that you can listen to him. Then you should ask yourself, why would he promote such a ridiculous speculation? This behavior is exactly what we saw on 9/11. The reporters immediately told us what happened. They don't want us to think for ourselves. They don't want us to demand an investigation. Instead, they want to tell us what happened, and they wanted to make it appear as if the case is closed and that there's no reason to look any further. If some of the people who work for America's Most Wanted are trying to protect the slave trade, then this television program provides them with an excellent opportunity to meet the witnesses, find out what they know, and confuse the public with idiotic speculations. The television show encourages us to contact them with information about crimes, but why would we want to contact a television company with information about a crime? Think about this seriously. The Jews who are in control of the television companies are routinely lying to us about 9/11, the Holocaust, the Apollo moon landing, and lots of other crimes. We would be fools to go to a criminal with evidence of a crime. The people who have been hired to work in the media were not selected because they're honest. They got their jobs because they're either criminal Jews or they're blackmailed puppets of the Jews, or they're such intellectual simpletons that they don't know what's going on and couldn't understand even if we explained it to them. Don't trust television people. I would advise you to be suspicious of the leaders of all groups, the veterans groups, the 9/11 groups, the political groups, and all of the rest. None of these organizations are honest about 9/11, the missing prisoners of war, Zionism, or anything else. Don't make excuses for them. Don't assume that they're simply naive or stupid. The people in control of these organizations are lying on purpose because they're part of the Jewish crime network, or they're blackmailed or bribed. Even if some of our leaders are truly as ignorant or stupid as they appear, that doesn't justify allowing them to remain in leadership. We have to raise standards for leaders. It's foolish to follow a stupid or ignorant leader. A leader should know more than his followers, and he should be able to solve problems that other people can't solve. He should be providing people with guidance. If a leader is ignorant or stupid, what's the point of having him as a leader? People who tolerate incompetent or dishonest leaders are hurting all of us. The same is true of people who ignore the slave trade on the grounds that it doesn't affect them. This attitude is as idiotic as ignoring a fire in your neighbor's house on the grounds that it's not your house. People with this attitude are allowing the fire or the crime network to spread to other people. The same is true of people who ignore unwanted animals, people, and material items. We can't ignore them on the grounds that they don't affect us, because they affect all of us in some manner. Unfortunately, most people can only care about what directly affects themselves. The parents of Natalie Holloway care about their daughter, but do they care about anybody else's children? Do they care about the people who are dying in Iraq? Do they care about the people who suffered from the world wars? The parents of Brianna Dennison care about the disappearance of their daughter, but do they care about the disappearance of other people's children? Do they care about the victims of 9/11 or the Holocaust hoax or other crimes? People who only care about themselves and their family members are selfish jerks who are allowing crime networks to thrive and hurt all of us. I'm not a direct victim of the sex slave trade or the world wars or any other Zionist crime, but I have more concern about stopping this crime network than some of the victims. And those of you who are listening to me are probably in a similar situation as me. You probably also have more concern than the ordinary people. Don't make excuses for the ordinary people. Their behavior is equivalent to a person ignoring a fire at his neighbor's house, and then when his house catches on fire, he cries for help. These people are behaving as if this is 10,000 BC. They're behaving like animals. How else can we explain this? These people are overwhelmed with the problems of modern society. They can't deal with the issue of unwanted animals or unwanted material items, and they especially can't deal with the issue of unwanted humans or birth control or abortion. They can't even deal with the issue of whether an old person or somebody dying from cancer should be allowed to have somebody put him out of his misery. The people who can't cope with life today are not necessarily stupid or uneducated. A better way to describe them is that they're just not well suited to modern life. Their mind was designed for 10,000 BC, not the complex problems that we face today. We're not going to improve the world or deal with any of its problems as long as we continue to believe in a democracy. The majority of people are truly incapable of coping with the issues that we face today. The majority of people are nice, but being nice doesn't justify letting them influence government, businesses, or schools. A monkey is a nice animal, but that doesn't justify allowing a monkey to vote in the elections. And many children are nice, but we don't let children vote. The majority of adults should be told to keep their mouth shut and stay out of world affairs. Just look at the candidates who they are currently considering for President of America. On February 7, 2008, Ron Paul gave a speech and once again supported the official story that the Arabs attacked us on September 11th, and he said that our foreign policy is helping Osama to expand his Al-Qaeda network. Yesterday, a woman sent me a link to an internet site of a Ron Paul support group in Florida, and they just changed their name to the John Birch Society of Broward County, Florida. On their webpage, they write, "We are now the John Birch Society, which stands for freedom and liberty for our country. We have the same ideals as Congressman Ron Paul of Texas, and we want you to stay informed on all the issues to help us fight the globalist elite and the New World Order." I'll put a link to their site so that you can see this for yourself. As I pointed out months ago, Alex Jones is also involved in the John Birch Society. If you've read my articles about the global warming and the carbon tax, then you've noticed a man who follows my website came up with the expression Craven's Logic to describe Greg Craven's reasoning on why we should stop global warming now rather than wait for some evidence. The Ron Paul supporters are also using a type of crazy logic to support him. They believe that Ron Paul is avoiding 9/11 because he doesn't want to upset people, and that after he becomes president, he'll become honest. According to this reasoning, people in Congress are under pressure to lie to us, but the president is protected from this influence. I suppose this explains why George Bush is so honest. This Ron Paul logic could be used with Hillary Clinton and John McCain. Perhaps both of them will become honest if they become president. Parents could use this Ron Paul logic when they discover that their daughter wants to marry an alcoholic. They could convince themselves that after he gets married, he'll quit drinking. We could define the Ron Paul logic as helping a criminal to achieve his goal in the hope that he becomes free of whatever was pressuring him to be a criminal. Unfortunately, there's no sensible way to justify Ron Paul's endless lies. He won't even say as much as the FEMA report of 2002. In that report, the engineers wrote that they don't know why Building 7 collapsed. When the issue of 9/11 came up in the presidential debates, Ron Paul could have mentioned that the FEMA engineers don't know what happened to Building 7, and therefore the government should provide them with money to finish the investigation. Ron Paul is not being cautious about 9/11. Rather, he associates with Jews, and none of them want to bring suspicion to the official story of 9/11. Ron Paul and his flock of Jews are deliberately promoting propaganda that there is a network of Arab terrorists planning to attack us. The supporters of Ron Paul gave him millions of dollars for his presidential campaign, and he wasted all of it on Jewish propaganda. His supporters are suckers. They're no better than the fools who vote for Clinton or McCain. Most people are like sheep who follow one Zionist agent or another. They follow the Zionists rather than people like me because the Zionists offer them praise and promises, whereas I upset people because I talk about unpleasant issues. Most people are like children who follow whoever offers them candy. As of today, it looks like three people have a chance of becoming president: Clinton, McCain, and Obama. It's easy to understand why the Jews would promote Clinton and McCain, because both of them have been loyal servants to the Jews for decades. But why would the Jews promote Obama? My guess is that they wanted to provide a candidate that Hillary Clinton could beat. However, today Obama is getting a lot of support, and now the Jews seem to be worried that he might beat Clinton. It seems that the Jews are starting to turn on Obama. Did you know that a couple weeks ago, Jeff Rentz interviewed a homosexual drug user named Larry Sinclair, who claims that in 1999, Obama was still using crack cocaine? Sinclair says that the reason he's coming forward to talk about this now, after all these years, is because it bothers him that Obama is lying about his drug use. However, I think the Jews arranged for Sinclair to meet with Obama to get blackmail material on him, and now the Jews are quietly releasing some of this material on the internet to reduce the support for Obama. I think the Jews are starting to panic that Clinton will lose and that the presidential race will be between Obama and McCain. I don't think the Jews want Obama as president because even though he's under their influence, he's very likely to rebel against them. Even if Obama's mother is Jewish, he is probably smart enough to realize that he, his wife, and his two daughters are just a pack of niggers to the Jews. It was only a few months ago that the Jewish media was promoting Obama as a wonderful presidential candidate, but now the Jews are promoting people who criticize him. And did you see the news report about Doris Lessing, who was presented with a Nobel Prize in Literature a few weeks ago, who said that Obama will be assassinated if he wins? The Jews in the media didn't have to treat that remark as serious news, but they did choose it, and my guess is because it was either intended to be a threat or it was intended to prepare us for his assassination. I also suspect that the Jews contacted Doris Lessing and convinced her to make that remark. By the way, on some message boards you can find people asking whether Obama's mother is Jewish. The Jews are responding to these messages by trying to convince us that it doesn't matter if somebody is Jewish. But it does matter, and millions of people are finally realizing it. Millions of people around the world realize that there really is a Jewish conspiracy to get control of our world. It's not our imagination, and it's not anti-Semitism. and because of this, we must become aware of who is a Jew. Unfortunately, Jews have been interbreeding with Caucasians for centuries, and so many of them look just like us. We need those magic sunglasses from the movie They Live. Somebody who follows my website told me about this movie. It was released in 1988. It's another of those movies that seem idiotic until you realize that it has hidden messages. In this movie, the main character is named John Nada. Nada is the Spanish word for nothing, to show that he's just an ordinary person of no importance. In this movie, there is a small group of ordinary people with almost no money struggling to expose and stop a group of aliens who are getting control of the media, government, police, and businesses. The aliens look just like Caucasian humans, so nobody realizes that they're another species. However, when you wear these special sunglasses, the aliens appear as ugly monsters, and the magazines, money, and advertisements appear as propaganda. If I had seen this movie in 1988, I would have thought it was incredibly stupid. But once you looked at the Protocols of Zion and what Harold Rosenthal says, then the movie makes sense. The aliens are the Jews, and this is why the aliens resemble Caucasians, not Chinese or Africans. The sunglasses represent the knowledge of what the Jews are doing. The people with the sunglasses will see the Jews for what they really are, which is a species of ugly creatures who manipulate us. There's a scene in the movie in which John Nada offers the sunglasses to a man and tells him to look for himself, but the man punches him in the face. This starts a fist fight that continues for a ridiculously long period of time. Perhaps the fight goes on for so long because all of us who try to expose 9/11 and Zionism and other crimes have to spend a ridiculous amount of time trying to convince people to look at the evidence. This is just one of many movies and television shows that have hidden messages about how the Jews are taking control of us. This movie is similar to the movie The Matrix, except that people see the Jewish deception by wearing sunglasses instead of by taking a red pill. The Matrix movie seems to be coming from Jews who are laughing at us for not being able to figure out what's going on, but the movie They Live is not a serious movie. It is such a blatant insult about Jews that it might be coming from Goyim who are expressing their frustration. Those special sunglasses identified the Jews, but it didn't identify the people who were bribed or blackmailed by the Jews. It's important for you to realize that we have to watch out for more than just Jews. We also have to watch out for their puppets. Their puppets are people with emotional or mental problems. Therefore, be suspicious of people who have cravings for fame, money, strange sex activities, gambling, drugs, and alcohol. Be careful of anybody who seems weird. The Jews seem to be using a lot of homosexuals and pedophiles as puppets, but we can't easily identify these people. Kay Griggs says George Stephanopoulos is homosexual, and he's married. This would explain why the Jews allow Stephanopoulos on television. The only way we're going to be able to defeat this Jewish crime network is to investigate everybody. And don't make excuses for people who lie or seem ignorant, as the Ron Paul supporters do with Ron Paul. Well, that's my file for today. Until the next time. Bye.